rivers in a pontoon boat, driven by my buddy Mike. We're fishing out on the basin for alligator walleye pike. Emo brought his TV and Routy's beagle Fred. He's too old to drive a rabbit, so he comes fishing with us instead. We got lawn chairs, a poker table, an ice cold keg of beer. We're loaded down with so much stuff, Mike can hardly steer. Hey,
now everybody, it's been a pontoon boat fishing from Moby Dick. The wife, she thinks I'm working, and the boss, he thinks I'm sick. It's a perfect day for fishing, drinking beer and telling lies. Come on, Kale, heaven,
when you're fishing with the guys.
I can't believe you actually joined in. Way to go.
How about that?
Kale. All right, boys and girls, this is Fish and Frank in the chair here, in case you haven't guessed, and we have Captain Kale in the chair across from me. And so what's up, Captain?
Oh, not a whole lot. I've been living on the water, it seems.
Well, that sounds like there's be a few things up. You've been on the water every day.
Yeah, yeah. Catching lots of fish.
Oh, yeah. Things looking up out there, huh?
Yeah, it's beginning to find a happy medium out there between the fronts. It's not starting to affect the fish as much as it was before.
Yeah, because we've been getting a front, what, every 4 days, something like that?
If that. I mean, there was one day we had two of them roll through in the same day.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just really hard on the fish when the front comes through, because atmospheric pressure, you know, the air pressure affects water pressure. And the shallower the water is, the more drastic the changes, and the fish have swim bladders, and it really messes the fish up when the air pressure changes so quickly like that, especially for us fishing in the flats. Now, if you're fishing in 60, 80 feet of water, it's not that much of a change. They really don't notice it.
Right, right.
But when you're up near, the closer you get to the surface, the more drastic the changes get. And it's been tough.
Barometric pressure is something that I think a lot of people overlook.
Okay.
We don't talk about it as much in our seminars, or explain the who's and why's and how's behind it and why it affects the fish the way it does. but it's, I mean, people understand the tides.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, our fishing seminars at Luigi's, the fishing club, is actually booked up for Tuesday night. If somebody does want to go, we've got almost enough people to run the extra night on reserve seating, but if somebody does want to go, we will take your name and call you. I think it's great, because we never put a topic up for this month.
And it's still full.
It's actually way over full. We've got 15 extra people so far. So
we should talk about something completely off the wall, then, just to catch them by surprise.
We always do. When did we ever... I mean, we've stayed on topic. Now, what I did do...
We have our routines.
What I'm trying to do is, for this month, and the reason I was going to post it, but I made a deal with one of the suppliers to supply us with banana jigs and teasers so we could build a little macro rig and stuff.
I think that's a great idea.
But hopefully he gets them here. He's giving me a real good price on 125 heads and 125 teasers. And so then we're going to take some, we're actually going to build a macro rig, which is really cool. I enjoy that. I like building stuff with the people, and, you know, it's not that expensive for me to do it. So it's,
we don't charge for this. We've been doing this for 4 years?
Almost 4 years, yeah. Around 4 years.
And it's just like everything else, it becomes repetitive. Wintertime, we're going to talk about trout. We're going to talk about sheephead. Summertime, we're going to talk about tarpon. And we're going to talk about snook.
I would say sometimes, but believe it or not, in 4 years, we go over a little bit of stuff. But there's so many different things we've done and so many different things we talk about. We've rigged so much stuff. One of the things we got to do again is the reel oiling class. I had a couple requests for
that.
That's
another good one.
Because it's been 2-3 years since we've done that reel oiling class and showing people how simple it is to oil a reel without. But I have to get a hold of Get Some. They make the best reel oil on the market.
Absolutely.
And I've got to get 125 bottles of Get Some.
Shouldn't be a problem.
oh, I'm sure it'll be fine. You know, I'm hoping they'll give me a deal on it because, you know, I pay for all the stuff. So, you know.
I think a trailering class, I think, would be good in the future.
A trailering class? That's right. Your boat's on a trailer now, isn't it?
Yeah, and I miss keeping it behind your house.
I really do. You know,
it's
you
so
try
nice.
And tell people
it's so nice to pull up to the dock and just walk off the boat. It really is.
When you're on a trailer, life is much better and much worse.
Yes.
Because all you ever had to do before was you pulled up, found a place to dock, got your customers off, did your talk, fillet some fish.
Yeah.
Okay, bye, guys.
See you. Bye.
Goodbye. And then you had a nice 15-minute ride back up to the dock.
Yeah, I could relax.
You know, get at peace with the world, enjoy that little boat ride back. And now it's convenient because you're not having to go out there and load up and do this and do that. But now you got to deal with the parking lot.
Oh.
The line of waiting in line to get your boat trailer in the water.
I've had it on the trailer for 2 weeks. And I'm already positive that if I ever snap and kill somebody, it'll be at a boat ramp.
I'll tell you what. I actually built the boat ramp at my house because of a few years' worth of chartering and trying to get in and out. I can remember waiting an hour and a half to get out of the water at a boat ramp.
Oh, I'm sure.
With
Pellucita in the summertime. Oh,
actually, it was Ponce was the worst
one. Well, that one's bad, too.
But, waiting an hour to get out of the water at a boat ramp is not uncommon.
It's always an adventure. Today, the guy with an older Regal inboard out, ski boat,
right,
from up north. And I was watching him as he was backing down. I thought, steel roller trailer. It's got about a year down here, and he'll be looking for a new one.
Oh, what's more fun about those steel trailers is they put such a heavy coating of paint on them. And the water gets up inside, and the salt gets
inside
in there,
the paint.
Inside the paint.
Yes.
And the outside of it looks perfect until
you poke your finger through it.
Yeah. And the whole trailer just collapses into a pile of rust right there.
The poor guy was towing it with a brand new Ford SUV.
Right.
And his buddy's backing him down, and my trailer's in the water, and I turned around and looked, and he's got his boat sideways across the back of my trailer. This is a little 18-foot boat. I'm in a 24-foot skiff. Why is he back down farther than me? Just rearing on it. Row, row, row. And it's not coming off the trailer. Now, if you're not coming off a roller trailer, something's still attached.
You never took the bow line off?
It wasn't the bow line. It was even better. It was the back straps.
Oh, he had two back straps on to hold it on the
trailer. As I'm pulling in to try and get on my trailer, I can see the hooks.
Right.
In the back of the boat. I don't understand why this thing won't come off. Your back straps are still on. He's got the rear tires of this thing, underwater.
Right.
He's got a foot of water in the back end of this SUV. He's got it back that far down, trying to get it off the trailer.
Oh, it's so much fun.
It is. It's a riot. It is.
I used to enjoy it because I'd be dropping off my morning trip, and I'd be hanging out at the ramp waiting for my second trip to show up. And I would be sitting way over on the side and just sitting in the boat having a sandwich, soda, or whatever, and just watching the stuff go on. And it is 20 upers in a pontoon
boat.
It really is. I love it.
That guy that comes in here all the time and does the TV shows, we need to take him to the boat ramp on Memorial Day and Labor Day. That's a month worth of shows right there.
Yeah. Yeah. What, you know, and you ever, what was they had the three things in front critiquing the movies? That's what we need to do.
Yeah. Yeah. The three shadows on the screen.
Yeah. Doing the movie critiques. I forget what they call it. Something Adventure 2000 or something. Yeah. But anyway, enough of that. All right. Oh, so. Anyway, what's been going on, and what time are you guys going out fishing in the morning now? What seems to be the best time to get out?
Right now, the earlier the better. Our morning tides from wee hours of the morning till about mid-morning, that incoming tide, has been a really, really good tide. Going into the negatives around 9, 10 o'clock, and then piling right back in. So getting out there first thing in the morning, you get to fish the last hour or two of that outgoing tide. The nice thing is if you're out on the flats, the slack tide hasn't really been affecting much out there. The trout are more than willing to bite through the slack tide. The bonnetheads are more than willing to bite through your slack tide. And then once it picks back up and it starts getting deeper, then you can start making your way to the mangroves for your snook and your redfish.
Because right now we're sitting here looking at negative waters about 10:30 in the morning. So yeah. If you get back on the flats and you get in a hole, you're not getting out until
noon, 1 o'clock. No, I mean, it was a negative 0.5 today at 10 o'clock, I believe, with a 10-mile-an-hour north wind.
So that's about a negative 1 foot.
There was no water out there. I mean, you're watching ospreys catch flounder.
Right.
There's no water out there when the ospreys are catching flounder.
Yes. So, anyway, but the good incoming tide, starting around, 11 to 4 or so, is a real good moving water. Not a lot of it going to be back on the flats, but you're going to have good moving water.
Yeah.
Great time to go fishing there.
You really can't go wrong. I mean, right now, coming off of the full moon, having great tides throughout the day.
From 6 to 9 o'clock in the morning is some great moving water.
Yeah.
From 6 to 9, and then you've got basically... You know, starting 11 to, I would say 4 o'clock, you've got another, good outgoing in the morning, good incomings in the afternoon.
The only thing you got to watch is that possible morning fog. But hey, look at the bright side. If there's fog, there's no wind.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
So that's the bonus to the fog.
I've only had one day I was ever on the water where we actually left in the morning and it got so foggy you couldn't see. Then the wind kicked up. But it kicked up in a direction where it kept blowing the fog. It was coming out of the north. And it actually got pretty snotty in the harbor. But it just kept moving all the fog that was along the coast down the coast. So we never got out of the fog for like 2 hours. And we're dealing with 2-3 foot chop on the harbor.
Yeah.
That was one time, and I've never seen it before or since.
Last week, we had some good fog last week. Carl called me. And when I ran down the east side, I actually went down to Pirate Harbor. And came back up because I didn't think it'd be safe to run in behind the bar from Alligator Creek down because you're going to have everybody and their mother doing 70 mile an hour out there. So we went down and around, came back up, and it cleared up about 11 o'clock. It took a while for it to clear. And Carl called me and says, "Where are you at?" "I'm on the east side." "Can you see?" "Yeah, I can down at Pirate Harbor. I can see Alligator Creek." "I can't see the front of the boat." "So you must be on the west side. This stuff's all blowing west." Says, "Yeah, I'm in the Mahaka Cutoff. I don't know how to get out of here." You couldn't see good enough to know which direction you should go.
Oh, no. I mean, I get that. Been there, done it.
Yeah.
I was out.
And that's the worst place in the world to rely on the tide telling you which way to go.
Yeah, because you never know which way the water goes in there. But, no, I've been on the west side of the harbor, leaving, got hit by the fog, and thought, well, I will just keep the wind off my nose. You know what I mean? It was hitting me on just my left cheek. And I said, well, if I just keep the wind on my left cheek idling forward, I'll just keep idling until I get there. And after about 40 minutes of idling, I bet you I'd gone about 25 feet.
Just going around in circles?
Turned all the way around. And, you know, I don't know how it did it. But once you start moving the boat, it feels like, you know, you don't get a true thing of the wind.
No.
And I guess the wind had switched because when I left, the waves were all hitting me on the front quarter. And I kept those waves in the front quarter right till right about the end. Then I stopped and the fog started lifting and I looked. And I could have threw a rock from where I started.
Well, we've got these wonderful new things called GPSs now.
Yeah,
I know. They help immensely.
Dwayne and I were just going over that this morning. I was like, are you kidding me? I like going across the flat, and I look at the potholes. I see where the fish spooked out, and I check, okay, I got a tree over there. I got a dark spot over there. I got a branch over there. I'm going to triangulate this, and I need to be this far away from it. And I go and I catch some fish, and I come back, find the spot, and do it all. He says, or you could just go over and, like, push the button on your GPS. I said, cheater! Cheater! Oh, cheater. That's not, that's terrible.
Well, and you taught me not to rely on it. So I don't. And
it is a good tool.
It is a good tool, but I could take it off and it really wouldn't bother me the least bit.
The only time you need it is when it's dead fog or in the middle of a thunderstorm, where either one where you can't see.
Yep.
Because there are, I've been in storms out there where it got so bad, you just, nothing, white out. And so, you know, that's fog conditions and heavy thunderstorms.
Yeah, they come in handy.
GPS, so, you know, I'll concede to that. But I just think it's cheating not to, you know, rely. I just like that, going out and figuring out where everything is and memorizing it and coming back to it. So, anyway.
I argue with my GPS.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll mark a hole and this isn't right. I do it all the time. Is that the right slot to go in? No, that ain't right.
Well, you know, I guess. Cause I used to do that too. I'd mark holes and come back. And the bad thing about back there, especially along the east side or getting back of Bull Bay or Turtle Bay, GPSs are known to be 15, 20 feet off because the government doesn't like them too perfect. Now, they've taken a lot of that off.
They can be a lot more off than that.
But years ago, foot to 30 foot was common. Some of them were, you know, several feet.
That's why I'll never run a Garmin. The first time I had experience with a Garmin was out with Angel.
Right.
We missed Alligator Creek at night by a half a mile.
Well, my point was
according to the GPS, we were right in there. The middle of the channel.
Yeah.
According to the hull that was sitting on the sandbar, the GPS was wrong.
But, you know, 15 feet is one side of the island or the other.
Yeah, 15 feet can make it or break it down here.
And, you know, if I'm wanting to fish the back side of an island or a key, and the GPS is telling me, and it's 15 feet off, it can have me on the complete wrong side of that island.
Yeah.
And 15 feet can be the difference between, as you said, a pothole with water in it or a sandbar with no water.
Right. With birds standing on it.
Birds standing on it, yeah. So, yeah, I'm not big on the GPS thing. I don't...
And that's the one thing that I tell all my educational trips is get out on the harbor on a nice day and go by these channel markers that are on your GPS and make sure they're where they should be. Because the day that you try and rely on it is the day that you run into it.
And the one thing that I always absolutely tell people, if I'm marking a path with a GPS... I'm a quarter mile away from the markers in the harbor.
Right.
Absolutely. Never use the markers as turn points.
Because then you hit them.
You're going to hit it. Exactly. So, anyway, go back to the fishing. Mark on this. Okay, because I'm going to be doing excerpts on some of this stuff. A lot of the old area fishing reports, I'm cutting out the fishing report part and just putting all our excerpts into it.
Oh, there you go.
But... because this is now 2015, so we have a whole new page. 2014 went to another page.
Gotcha.
So, what are you doing as far as, are you coming in getting shrimp? Are you going out catching white bait, using cut bait? What are you doing nowadays?
I gave up on white bait in May. So, I've been throwing nothing but shrimp and artificials. And throwing both. Lately, it seems, especially the trout, they want one or the other. One day they want shrimp, next day they want whitebait. Today was the first day in a month and a half where they actually ate both really, really well.
Really?
Yeah. And Storm Twitch Stick is working well. The small Rapala X-Wraps.
Don't talk about Twitch Stick till sometime this week because we don't have any more in. I've got 1,200 of them on order.
Well, the good news is the small Rapala X-Wrap in white works just as well. I was throwing the... standby black top, gold sides, orange belly. Worked great Saturday. Didn't catch a thing today on it.
Right.
So we were throwing Mirror Lure 17MRs in gold broken glass. I probably shouldn't mention those. We're probably out of those too.
No, I think we got those.
But they're working very, very well. But and any of the gold broken glass, I mean, I even tried a pink one the other day and it worked fine.
Yeah. No, the Mirror Lure is a great lure. I don't know what it is about the storm that just makes everything want to eat it.
I don't know either, but we had a bonnet head follow the 17MR today. Never saw that before. We caught a halibut on it one last week. Or not a halibut.
A flounder. Yeah, the only thing that
California was showing.
Yeah, your California showing. The only other lure I've actually caught bonnets on is the Fish and Frank Rattle Trap. Twitch and Trap.
Yeah.
That I've actually got a couple bonnets on. But other than that, that's weird for them to follow 17.
Well, there's been a lot of weird stuff. Skipjacks jumping out there in Pirate Harbor. Scads of them.
On the flats.
On the flats.
Yeah.
sharp nose out there on the flats.
Now, what's the odds if somebody, here's a real good question for you. If somebody wants to go out catching sharks, what's your odds on having a good shark trip right now?
Big sharks or little sharks?
Well, just sharks in general. What would you catch if you went out now?
Well, you're going to get into the bonnet heads on the flats. That's a gimme. Get some hand-picked, some jumbo shrimp. Pull the heads off. Throw them out there. Let them sit. Put them on a bobber. Don't pop it like you would for a trout. Just let it sit.
Right.
And sooner or later, one's going to wander by and find it. There's been a ton of them out there.
So we got bonnets. That's light spinning tackle.
Light spinning tackle. You've got some small sharp nose out there behind the east side bar.
What are the odds of hooking up on these sharp nose? They're pretty like good. A black tip.
They look like a juvenile black tip. The only thing that really sets them apart, they look like somebody spilled bleach on them.
Right. They got spots.
Yeah, they got some goofy spots.
You can, again, that's a light tackle shark.
Right, right. They're a small bodied shark.
You really want to fish them with the same tackle, like a bonnet head, like you would for trout.
Right.
Your sea trout tackle is great for those two types
perfect
of sharks.
Perfect for them.
Anything else been out there?
There's been some black tips out around the Boca Grande area.
Any size to them?
They've been getting some nice sized black tips out there, 3, 4, 5 feet.
So I've had a lot of people asking me about taking shark charters, and do you think it's a good dollar spent right now, or you think it's still just not really a way to spend money right now?
I would say it's probably not a bad idea.
Yeah?
I think you could go out there and do pretty good on the black tips right now. Plus, you also have a chance, especially in the Boca Grande intercoastal area, of running into a sandbar shark. And they've got potential to get big, 7, 8 feet.
So you don't think you think spending money on a shark trip, if somebody wanted to go out and catch some sharks, putting the money towards a shark trip wouldn't be a bad idea?
I think you've got just as good a chance of catching them now as you do in the summertime.
Really?
Not going to do it in the same places, but I think you get closer, especially near shore.
Yeah.
The reefs are holding good numbers of black tips. Okay. Our water is unseasonably warm.
Yeah. Have you noticed the water temp lately?
It's hovering around 70.
Yeah, that's about when everything shows up.
Yeah.
70 is about the key. That's the break point. Between below 70, the sharks are 95% gone.
Well, and look at our reports that we've been getting. Everybody's catching tarpon in the canals without a problem.
Right.
You know, that's an indicator that your water temperature's up. The bonnet head or the black tips in the harbor, catching a lot of jacks out on the flats. Another indication your water temperature is coming up. They should be hiding in the canals right now, but they're out there on the flats looking for food.
Yeah.
Skipjacks out on the flats. Sharp nose out on the flats.
How about the whitebait? Is that showing up?
I haven't seen any, but then again, I haven't put a lot of effort into looking at for it either. Everything out there has been eating shrimp so well, you're probably going to run to, at the very least, 2 pines to find whitebait.
Right.
And I don't want to run 10 miles out of my way when I can probably be limited out on trout with shrimp by the time you go down there, get bait, and come back.
Oh, yeah, easily. So, no, I was just curious what was going on out there. So I guess that's kind of the point of this. So what would somebody expect? You're going to go out and do a charter. What would they expect on it?
Depending on the tide levels, we just had too many people on the boat and not enough water to really get back and beat up the mangroves.
How many people you have?
We had 4 people on the boat and no water. So getting back to the mangroves was kind of pointless. If you're going to beat up the mangroves looking for redfish, you've got to go way back in the mangroves on the east side to find them.
Right.
The outside islands have just been getting the snot beat out of them by everybody, mullet boats running through there, just tearing it up. So you've got to go way back inside, and you got to have water to do it. The further you get back there, the shallower it gets.
Oh, yeah. It's real skinny back there. So, anyway, well, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what to ask for a question at this point. What you got?
I don't know either. I'm pretty much covered everything that I've been doing out there.
So it sounds like you're actually having good trips. You're catching a lot of fish. What's the actual catch right now? What did you guys catch today?
6,000 trout. It was mostly trout today. We caught a couple catfish on the bar, which was kind of weird. I haven't seen any catfish back there for the last month or two, and usually that place is loaded with catfish. A lot of ladyfish out there, some jacks, some flounder. We went through almost 10 dozen shrimp today.
Well,
and there was only two people out of the four throwing shrimp. The other two were throwing artificial.
So, and they
were
good day.
Yeah, and they were catching just as many trout on the artificial as they were on the shrimp.
Okay, so it sounds like right now is a good time to go taking a charter, get a lot of fish. You have a good day bending the rod, great time to catch.
Yeah.
Did that couple talk to you? I told a couple about hiring you to take out them and their son. But he came in to buy a cast net the other day. Nice couple.
Possible. I've got probably five people to call tonight.
Because real nice couple, and they got their son teaching him to throw a cast net yesterday, the day before, out in the parking lot, and they want to take him fishing. And I said, you're good with kids, so you know I recommended you to take him out because you're good at activity fish. You can find a bunch of fish for the kids to catch.
Sure. Yeah, it's got to keep them happy. They want that instant gratification, or fishing becomes boring to them.
Oh, like, okay, throw the rod out. Are we going to catch anything?
Yeah, and that was the nice thing. I mean, they were older kids, but
right.
I was trying to show them how to run a popping cork.
Right.
On the first cast, and we were catching fish. So, you know, when you go out there and you start catching fish on the demonstration,
that's a good way to start.
Yeah, that's a good way to start.
Good way to start. So, well, if there's...
This is the perfect season to get kids out there. You know, the trout are eating, the ladyfish are eating. Kids love sharks. So, getting out there and catching those bonnet heads and those sharp nose, they love it. They eat it up.
Well, you want to tell me your telephone number?
941-916-4538. And you can find me listed on www.fishandfranks.com.
And all you got to do is click the picture next to this. We're going to be putting up his logo. So you can click the logo. And there's a couple of different links. But find Cale's picture or his logo. And you take it right to the sites. Anyway, this is Fish and Frank in the chair here. Anything else for you today, Captain?
Not that I can think of.
All right. Well, guys, hope you had a happy new year. If you're up north and in that whole Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, North Dakota, South Dakota area, Montana.
It is hard to say that with a straight face, isn't it? Okay. It's so hard to say that with a straight face.
My son, he lives in northern Wisconsin. He sent me a picture this morning. It says -4, and he says, you know, it's a lot like the movie Frozen, just a lot less singing and more drinking.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyway, this is Fish and Frank. Yes, indeedy. And we got 20 hoopers and a pontoon boat heading out, and they all seem to be at the boat ramp around 2 o'clock. So you want to plan getting back either before 1 or after 3.
After 2, yeah, 2 or 3.
You know, before 1 and after 3, that area around 2 o'clock is a little congested.
And I don't know why.
Well, you got to be back for the early bird special down at the Smorgy Board.
41's the same way. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's packed.
Is this when the early bird specials are?
I guess.
You know, you can buy a sandwich, you know, sandwich and a cup of soup for $2 or something, you know.
They're all headed to Sam's for the free little test bites of everything.
And it is just a little bit like heaven. All right. Well, Smooch, Dirty Shirt, Fish and Frank, Radio Fishing, and that was Captain Cale. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next one.